Good morning. It is 10 a.m., July 28th, 2010. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. That's Kevin Kramer, along with Tony Clark and Brian Kalk, all present for today's meeting. Just welcome to everybody. And I hope you're having a great day. We'll turn it over to my colleagues for any opening comments as well.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning and have a great day in North Dakota.
It is that, for sure. All right. With that, I'd move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And there were many.
There were many.
Yeah. Well, there were. Okay. Sure. And to the regular agenda, I have four items. The first two are, of course, are related. One is a revision to a coal mine permit, and then that'll be followed by a renewal, because it is that time when it's time for another five-year renewal. KC1, I move the commission approve revision number 32 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR 9702 held by BNI Coal Limited for the center mine to identify the next five-year coal removal sub-areas and to update other information and plans for the next permit term.
Second.
And this is pretty routine, although I did notice in this particular revision there are an additional 676 acres being added to the permit area. But this is an area that's currently active, will continue to be an active mining area, and so these revisions need to be filed along with the renewal for the next 5 years. Everything's in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In KC2, then, I move the commission approve renewal number 2 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR 9702 held by BNI Coal for the center mine to extend the permit term for another 5 years until August 2nd of 2015.
Second.
And it's expected that it'll be mined well after 2015, but this will take it to that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. KC3. I move the commission adopt the order to affirm notice of violation number 1001 issued to BNI Coal at the center mine, acknowledge cancellation of the informal conference that was scheduled in the matter, and close the case.
Second.
If this looks redundant, it is because I think we had this on the agenda, maybe even just the last meeting, where we assessed a proposed penalty, and then at the request of the company for an informal conference in the matter, we proposed the civil penalty of $1,250, which included none for history, because they don't have, they haven't met the history threshold for violations, $1,250 for the seriousness, $500 for negligence, and then $500 deduction for their good faith effort. And we did that on, I guess it was June 2nd, and then scheduled the informal conference for June 29th. And on the 25th, BNI paid the penalty and withdrew the request for the informal conference. You'll remember that this was related to erosion and attendant water pollution for failure to construct or maintain a diversion to prevent additional contribution of suspended solids to stream flow. And it was one of those spring runoff erosion situations that wasn't adequately prepared for. So everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. KC4, I move the commission adopt an order in case number RC 10-276, notice of violation number 1002, issued to Dakota Westmoreland Corporation at the Beulah Mine to affirm the violation, assess the civil penalty, and close the case upon payment of the penalty.
Second.
This NOV was issued on June 15th of this year following an inspection at the Beulah Mine. It was issued for failure to protect undisturbed areas adjacent to the main haul road from deposition of sediment and contamination by water-transported sediment. The Dakota Westmoreland did not request an informal conference or a formal hearing in the matter, and so the staff prepared the order to affirm the violation and assess a $1,000 penalty in the matter. Basically, what happened was our inspector on a routine inspection noticed that an area of sediment that accumulated on an area just north of the main haul road embankment near Brush Creek, and the berms along both sides of the haul road and part of their function are to channel water to drop structures that then direct the runoff water to sumps and silt fences at the base of the road. A section of the berm, these are earthen berms, by the way, along the north side of the road had been removed to gain access to a ramp. So what they did is they removed part of the berm to get trucks down to the sump and did not replace the berm in time to capture water that subsequently came down in one of the big rains that we've had and created the problem. So since an informal conference or hearing wasn't requested, we need to assess a penalty and adopt a final order in the matter. And we consider, of course, the four factors as always. In this case, there was a proposed penalty assessment of $500 because of history. This is marks the fifth NOV within the last three-year period. A couple of them were about 3 years ago, but they are within the 3 years. So there's a $500 proposed penalty for history. Seriousness of the violation, we can assess a penalty of up to $3,500 per day. We're proposing today a penalty assessment for seriousness of $250 and then another $750 for negligence. We're again able to assess a penalty of up to $3,000 per day based on the degree of fault. However, a violation caused by negligence but not through reckless, knowing, or willful conduct may be assessed a penalty of up to only $1,500 per day. Again, staff is proposing $750 in this case. They had an approved plan to use these berms and concrete drop structures and best management practices for treating the runoff and controlling the erosion. However, a section had been removed and was not replaced in time to sufficiently protect from a significant rainfall event that did occur. We also may deduct up to $1,000 per day from the total civil penalty when a permittee takes extraordinary measures to abate the violation in the shortest possible time. No deduction can be made for normal compliance. The compliance in this case was very prompt in that Dakota Westmoreland began cleanup and reconstructed the berm upon discovery of the feature. And so we're deducting $500 from their penalty for good faith. So that gives us the proposed penalty of $1,000 in the matter. Everything seems to be appropriate, and recommend approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends items in my portfolio. Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item TC1. I move the commission adopt the order reissuing certificate in the joint application of Just Wind LLC and Logan County Wind Farm LLC to transfer certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility number 11 from Just Wind LLC to Logan County Wind Farm LLC, case number PU10-58.
Second.
We'd previously discussed this when we put out the notice of opportunity, and the commission did not receive any comments back on this. This is just basically that Just Wind, which has received a permit but has not constructed a project in Logan County, North Dakota, created a wholly owned subsidiary, Logan County Wind Farm, to just handle that particular Logan County Wind Farm. So they're transferring the certificate to that entity, and all the paperwork looks to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE10-373, canceling warehouse license number 1224, issued to Dean Steichen and Gloria Steichen, DBA Steichen Farms East Elevator at Goodrich, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Goodrich, North Dakota, under warehouse license number 1224, is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
The Steichens have created a business corporation, and this facility will be licensed by that corporation in the following motion.
All in favor?
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE10-301, granting the request of Steichen Farms East Elevator, Inc., DBA Steichen Farms East Elevator, to operate a 389,000 bushel grain warehouse at Goodrich, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC4, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE10-447, canceling warehouse license number 42, issued to Farmers Cooperative Elevator Company of Cavalier, North Dakota, at Cavalier, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Cavalier, North Dakota, is discontinued effective August 1st of 2001.
Second.
This facility has been sold to CHS, Inc., and will be operated under a facilities-based grain buyer license because CHS has a federal license for their warehousing activities.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC5 is the second half of that action. I move commission issue an order in case number GE 10-488, granting the request of CHS, Inc., St. Paul, Minnesota, to operate as a facilities-based grain buyer at Cavalier, North Dakota, effective August 1st, 2010.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio.
Great. Are there any other announcements anybody has? If not, are there any questions?
August 4th informal is for?
August 4th informal.
I don't know that that's next week.
Oh, that's, yeah, we don't have anything scheduled yet. That's
placeholder.
Yeah, it's a placeholder. Right. One of the things about, you might notice we're a little bit out of sync because of August vacations and other schedules. What we've done is we have back-to-back meetings. We have a meeting today and then a week from today and then a three-week, I think, gap.
That's right.
So we don't, you know, to be honest, I'm not even sure there'll be an agenda item for next week's record.
I didn't know if there
was. But that was it. That's why it's on the.
Can you tell me about the